And truth. It's so good to see you. As I look out and see so many visitors that we have, it's that time of year where people come and visit family. So we have family who have come in, and we have family who will be going out. So it's good to see you here. Thank God for your presence, and we're hoping to have a word from the Lord. I'd like to thank Brother Hal for leading us in song the way he has. Outstanding job. Brother Donald gave us a heartfelt prayer, a prayer of unity, and that's who Donald is. That defines him. We appreciate that so much. We appreciate Brother Antoine reading God's Word. We appreciate our Brother Johnny Brown and getting our minds set and ready to receive the Word of God. Again, I am so grateful that that you are here. And if you are visiting with us and you live in our community and you're looking for a place to come and to worship God in spirit and truth, then you have found a place. But if you come here looking for perfect people, then I'm afraid that we're going to fail you. We're not perfect people. We're people who are trying to work out the things in our lives to be better. We are a group, a church that believe in forgiveness. We believe in correction. So we do not mean to offend anyone, but if you're looking to serve God with people doing the very best that they can, then you are in the right place. And we thank you so very much for that. The title of our lesson on this morning is Great, Greater, and Greatest. If you do not leave here this morning feeling like you are great, then I have swung and missed on this morning. This is a lesson about encouragement to realize who we are, who we serve, and I think that we will have a great time with this lesson on this morning. As Donald has prayed, we do meet again at 5 o'clock p.m. Johnny also mentioned it. I invite you to come back to hear another portion of God's holy and divine word, if he will permit us to do so. I plan to preach a lesson on Dem Bones, D-E-M, Dem Bones. So I want to explain that to you. If you come back tonight, we'll look forward as we get into that lesson. There is something to be said about knowing who you are. There was a time where we were with our parents, and if we were going off to, say, spend the night, take a trip, our parents would say things like, remember who you are. Do not shame our name. So we knew what it meant to go out. It seemed like those days are long gone. Our parents don't speak that way anymore for the most part. The advice and admonishment are not given. It just seemed like those days are far, far gone. But great is the child of God. And our goal again this morning is to point out just what makes us great. I wish to remind us that children of God, that we are great. In Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26 to 27, let's look there right quickly, please. And here's what the Bible says concerning God's creation. You remember in the first 25 verses that God had created all that we know. He separated light from dark, day from night. Brought the birds of the air, the animals, the separated land from water. It was his creation. But when he got down to verse number 26, here's what he said. He said, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creepy thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. When we look at what God did, when he came down to creating man, he created us in his own image. That says enough right there. That's all you really need to know. All the other animals made a certain way, but God says, we're going to make man in our own image. That means that we are special, you see, set aside. His crowning of his creation, all that he had done, all that he had prepared man for, he made man in his own creation. The Bible is so good. In fact, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29, God made man to be upright. Did we know that? Man was to be upright. God did not make junk when it came to man. We were to present ourselves in such a way, recognize who we are, present before God as a special, special creation. So when we look at man and the breakdown and all the things that he goes through, the depravity that he's involved in, all the things that we see, it was not God's intention for us to be that way. God created us to be upright. We are his own special people. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 that Antoine had read for us. Shame on the child of God. Shame on the man who does not believe that he or she is special. You know, we began to look at God creation. There's a bird that is fascinating to me, and I'm sure it's fascinating to you. This bird is called the peacock. Anybody know about the peacock, right? There's something about that bird, you see, that makes that bird know that it's special. Why else would you be if you have him in a zoo or somewhere and everybody wants to come around and look and what people are looking for? You didn't come to see that little black beady head of his. You didn't come to see his feet or his long neck. What you came to see was him to flap those feathers out, you see, and to stretch that tail out and look, and you see and say, man, there is no way that anybody can say there is no God. Have you looked at those colors? I see it often, you see, because I got this big old picture in the office of this peacock. This bird, the blue and the green, is so brilliant with this bird that you can walk in Sherman Williams, you can walk into Moore, and you can walk in and say, give me peacock blue or peacock green. That's how beautiful it is. And when God put it together and you see it, there is nothing like it. The best man can do is to be able to paint as close to it as possible. You seen the colors on the back of a duck's neck? How they all come together. Who can do that? No other can do that but God. It is a beautiful thing to see. That peacock knows that he is very, very special. Right? He knows that. And just like that peacock knows, and that bird does have a bird brain, we ought to realize that as children of God, made in God's own image, that we are special too. Do they come to see our outward appearance? Maybe not. Do they come to see all the things that's on the outward? No. But when we spread our wings that God gave us, when we're Christ-like, and we go about living his life, then we become special before men. Shame on the man who does not know that he is special in the sight of God. Made in his own image, you see, we'll know that he is special. You know, to be special takes a special kind of attitude. Brothers who are married out there, listen to me. Give me your full attention. Do not attempt this at home. I told you in time past that Michelle was my last pretty girlfriend. But I have you to know that I had two before that. Now, I know I dated and married over my head. That is not the point. The point is that I had very pretty girlfriends, and everybody knew that. Well, the one that was before Michelle is the blessing to me. That's the one, you see, that taught me about Jesus Christ and the gospel. Forever in my heart would I have a deep love and appreciation for that God-sent girl that had the strength and the courage to take a young man, you see, who ideas all over the place, but yet can talk about Jesus. And that's why, you see, I can talk about her and my wife don't get upset, because you can't do, many of you brothers out there, what I can do. I'm highly trained. And I have experience in this area. Do not attempt this at home, lest you have trouble at your house. This girl, Vicky, was fascinating to me because whatever she had, it was the best. It didn't matter what it was. Everybody look and say, well, that's ordinary. If she owns it, it was the best.
She had nothing but the best. That is probably why she got rid of me. But when we look at the fact that her attitude was that if I own it, it's the best. When we look at our lives today, because what God has given us, whatever He has given us, if He has given it to us, it's the best. You know what that leads you to? Being content. Stop chasing things that other people have. God has given me this, therefore it belongs to me. It's what God wants me to have. It is the best. Because when you realize, you see, greatness, when we want to be great, we have to understand just who we are. Again, if you don't leave today feeling like you are great, I truly have swung and missed on this morning. God made us a special people. And those who have obeyed His word, you see, we are special because we are His own people. A special people. A set aside people. A people that all others ought to be able to look and see there is a God. I can tell by the very life that this person would live. We are great because God made us to be great. And if you don't believe or accept the fact that you are great, I think you are missing out on a blessing that God has given you. Stop letting people define you. Because of where you work or where you this or how you look, all those things, you see, vanity. That's all it is. When you know who you are, you don't worry about what other people think. You're proud and you walk upright because you know that I am a child of God. And that is the most important thing in this world. Because one day, all of us are going to stand before God and have to give an account for the things that we did, both good and bad, in this life. Know who you are. If they say you're not beautiful or you're pretty, that's their opinion. When I live my life for God and do what He wants me to do, I am beautiful to the one that it counts to, you see? Too many times we get all caught up, get destroyed, feelings hurt, I'm bad, my nose long, my eyes are long, I don't like my hair, I don't like my height, I don't like my weight. Hey, do the very best you can and be a child of God. That's all you can do, you see? He made us the way that we are. Beauty's only skin deep anyway. I've seen a lot of pretty people. But their behavior, right on, all of a sudden I'm looking at them totally different now. What just came out of that girl's mouth? Cursing. What just went into her mouth? Smoking. That was automatic, you know, for me, No, no. It's not what I want. Beauty is only skin deep. We are great because God says so. But you want to be greater? Want to go to the next level? Here's what the Bible says about that. You see, when we begin to look at certain people, and certain people do begin to strut, right? They think they are all that. God's gift to this whole world. In fact, we ascribe certain vanity to that. You know, there he goes, there she goes, strutting like a what? Peacock, proud, can't tell him anything. I know that I'm beautiful. I know that I'm all that. I know there's people like that in the world. But they need to understand, you see, that's not how God made you. God didn't make us to be vain. He never made us to be that way. Yes, to walk upright and to be proud and all those things, but not to be vain. Not to walk around, you see, thinking that somebody owe you something. You're better than somebody else. I'm greater than you. God never created us to be that way. Look in your Bible, please, to Matthew chapter 20. Yes, sir. Let's see what happened here on this occasion. Jesus with his disciples. Jesus was always teaching them, you see. And they began to watch all the miracles that Jesus was doing, and they can see that there's something special about the Lord, and they wondered about his kingdom and what is going to come, not realizing, you see, in their minds, they still thinking of a physical kingdom that's going to come and rule the world just as King David did. That's where their minds were. So they begin at verse number 20 of Matthew chapter 20. Notice this. The Bible says, "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him,
Jesus, with her sons,
kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." So he said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father." Jesus saying, you're asking for a place, you see, to be with me. It is not mine to give. God has prepared. God is going to give it, you see. But after all that conversation, you can imagine a mother. And that's being a mother. That's what mothers do. My boys are special. My boys are better than yours, right? And here's what I'm going to do, because my boy's not going to speak up. I go speak for my boys. Too many mamas speaking for boys anyway. That's a problem anyway. Mamas need to let these boys go and grow up. Speak for themselves and live righteous. See, give them an instruction and let them go and stand for themselves. We go out, we send boys out to get jobs. Sometimes grown men and their mama in the car wait for them to come out. Now, honey, say this, say that. In the room, you know, waiting for them to come out. Hey, let your boy go. Let him go out on his own. Mama speaking for sons. And just as the case here, I don't know what was wrong with the sons of Zebedee's. I don't know why their mama was speaking on their behalf, but she did. Jesus said, it was not mine to give. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem. Look at verse 24. And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. Not mama, but the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles, Lord over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become what? Great among you, let him be your what? Servant," is what the Bible says. "And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." We are great. God said so. But if we want to be greater, the Bible says that we need to what? Serve. Stop trying to be first in everything. Stop trying to have people come and serve you. It is my will, what I want. What does other people want? Can you see what they want? Can you serve their needs first? If you want to be greater than great, the Bible says to serve. And that's not easy, is it? Mm-mm. I like the flowers. I like the attention. I like all that comes with somebody serving me. It feels good. It means I don't have to do it. You cannot find greatness in that. That does not make a person great, according to the Bible. The Bible says those who go out and serve. When you see a person who owns a company, who's out there, I don't care, maybe it's labor intense, and you see that person out there in the field working with the fellow employees, do that CEO or that owner, does he gain the respect of his people? Every time. Why? I'm not telling you what to do. I'm going out here with you. We are going to do it together. We'll sweat together. I know how you feel. See, that would make a person great. Right? You got the fancy quarterback on the team. He want everybody to run and dive and do all this and try to get extra. And then when his time comes to get extra, he won't do it. You think the rest going to respect him? No. We're all in it together. If you want to be greater than great, then you must serve. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4.
Here's what the Bible says. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord or one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Esteem others better than himself. Verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Do you want to be greater than great? God has made you great, but do you want to be great? Do you want to go to the next level? Those of us who like to achieve, you see what I'm saying? Do you want to go to the next level? The Bible says to serve. I thank God that there are many servants here at the Arlington Road Church of Christ. The most beautiful people I've ever seen in my life. Name a good that needs to be done. And they're right there on the spot. What can I do to help, you see? Those are people that are greater than great. Why? Because they are willing to serve. Esteem others better than yourself. All right? We got great because God made us great. We got greater because we're going to serve others. But how do we go to the next level and get to the greatest? Well, in order to get to the greatest, we got to know who is the greatest. Isn't that right? I'm sorry, Muhammad Ali, but you're not the greatest. Might be the greatest boxer of all time, you see, but you are not the greatest. When he says, I am the greatest. No, you're not. Our God is the greatest. It's so much in the Bible that I can go and show where God is the greatest. It's just too much. But here's what I have chosen. Turn to Psalms 139. Let me show you how great God is through man that he created. Psalms 139. Let me read, please. Verse number 1. The psalmist says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even a night shall be a light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day, the darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I told you we were special. Marvelous are your works. And that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they will be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men. For they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. To God be the glory. That's how great God is. That we cannot escape him. Wherever we go, he is there, you see. He is perfect in all ways. He knows man, his crowning of his creation and all the frailties that we have. But yet God can be described through us. That's how great God is. He is greater than we will ever know. God is the greatest. We are great because God said so. If we want to be greater, then serve. If we seek the greatest of all, then we simply must obey. Turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. Let me read that right quickly, please. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Like I say, it's hard to even conceptualize the greatness of God. Who can know? Who can? All we can do is praise him. That's all we can do. We cannot even understand his greatness. Here is God, you see, and as we look at unity and what God has said and how God has set things up. Verse number 1, Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Notice this, there is one body and one Spirit. Just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, verse 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. God is the greatest. One God, one Lord, one faith, one body. God is the greatest, and God has placed those things in order. You know, what I love about God, and I love him, I do, and I know you do too. God don't take any mess. He don't play with no foolishness. God don't fool around. He always goes in the intent of a man's heart. You remember over in Exodus chapter 3, where Moses was in a conversation with God at the burning bush. And God was telling him to go down to Egypt and bring his people out. Now is the appointed time. I know they've been crying out to me for over 400 years, but now I'm going to go and bring my people out. Moses, feeling insufficient, can't blame him there, standing before God Almighty, saying, Lord, I'm not your man. I'm not your man. I can't even speak. And when I go down, God, and I say to your people, the Lord has sent me, and they shall ask me, what is your name? What was God's answer? Exodus 3:13 and 14, God says, I am. Tell them I am has sent you. You don't need to know my name. God knows that these were disobedient people had been in slavery, who was going to come down and say, how we know God sent you? And what is his name anyway? God knew the hearts of those people and said, tell them I am sent you. God don't mess around, you see. He takes no foolishness. God is God. When he chooses to answer a question for a man, he will answer it. If he chooses not to do it, he will not. Y'all remember poor Job? All Job wanted to know was what's happening, what's going on. But God did not like it. And when God began to go down and ask him, where were you? You had to feel for Job. I know I did. And all he can say was, I am a sinner, guilty before you. That's all I can say. God is God, the great I am. If you want to go to the next level and be part of the greatest, then you must serve God. You have to obey him. I don't care how many fancy degrees we have in this world. I don't care about these people thinking that they're superstars. Maybe your sports. Maybe you make movies. Maybe you do all those things. If you don't acknowledge the fact that God is God, then the Bible says you are a fool. If you want to take it to the next level, you'll serve God. Why? Because He is the greatest. God is. Question for you this morning. Do you believe that you are great? Do you believe that? You got up this morning, didn't you? You washed your face. You got yourself ready to come. Jumped in your car. Did your very best, right? We are who we are. We look the way we look. You did your best, right? Do you believe you're great? Do you believe that you are great? You see, when we're out there, even for those who are dating, and you may fall in love with somebody, and to that somebody, you know, maybe you don't have the looks they want, run. That's a good chance for you to get on out there anyway. I don't like this about them. I don't like that. Well, they get to have their choices. Let's see what's going to happen if you remain with God down the road. Let's see how important you will be then. You see, when that pretty skin begin to wrinkle a little bit, back begin to bend over a little bit, all those things that you used to put high priority on is now gone. Who you stuck with? You see? He ain't always look like the big man on campus. Age will bring him down just like everything else. So you better know who you're marrying from the inside. Does he, does she love the Lord? Because if you have that, you got a fighting chance, you see. You can withstand all the promised things are going to come. I'm sure I don't look like I used to look when Michelle married me. I'm sure of that. Back in the day, you know, I was a lot younger. Hair was black. Swift on my feet. Now I've been over in the shower to get the soap. I done hurt my back. That's how it is. Where's the heating pad? That's just the way it is. But when you're married from the inside, you stick with that person and you don't worry about that. Question for you. Do you really want to be greater than great? What have we learned this morning? What? Serve. If you want to be greater than great, serve. That's what the Bible says, you see. That will make us greater than great, what God has already done for us. Final question. Do you want to be with the greatest for everlasting? Then we simply have to obey and never let go. Obey the gospel and hang in there. There is a reward for us. No matter what is around, beating about us or whatever, hang in there with the Lord, you see, and everything will be all right. Because one day, we'll be with him in that place. But nobody worrying about how you look anymore. Nobody worrying about trying to take the things that you have. Nobody worrying about death coming, tears, broken hearts, and all that. It will not exist up there in heaven, you see. And if we make it, we have earned it, deserved it, because God said so. Not because of what we've done, but because we obeyed and we stuck with it. No man can earn his way to heaven. It's by God's grace and mercy that we will get there, right? But for those who would obey and hang in there, heaven will be our home. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to have a good time. Serving God with no more problems in this world. Next time this old world try to tell you that you're not special, flash your peacock blue and your peacock green, which God gave you. And let them know that I am a child of God, you see. May not look special from the outside, from the front, whatever, but I have something, you see, that God gave me that no man's hand have made. It's from God. And when God gives it to you, no man can take it away from you because he didn't give it to you. Because if man gave it to you, he will take it from you. I've never seen a place like the United States of America. We build a person up and we love them. They're a superstar. They're this, they're that. But then we find out there's a flaw or something like that, we tear them down with great joy. Tear them down. And then they believe it's up to me if I want to put you back up again. That's playing man's game. When you do it God's way, God gives it, only He can take it away. So because you have not given me anything, you can't put me up and you can't put me down. I serve God, you see, and that's the way we ought to be, and we will have a better life because of that. God made a masterpiece when it came to man. Man was designed to walk upright. That's what God had in mind, you see. Did not make any junk. He made us in His own image. And if we serve God the way we're supposed to do, we will glorify His name. And the world around us will know that there is a God. Great is self. Greater is serving others. Greatest is serving God. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, we want to encourage you to become a child of God this morning. That's why God did what He did. That's why He sent His Son Jesus down the cross for the sins of the world. That you and I might be saved, you see. That's the love of God. He didn't have to do it. Jesus didn't have to come. But they did it because they love you and I. What a great sacrifice for this world. The question is, will you take advantage of that sacrifice? Too many people out there do not take advantage of it. Some of them try, you see, but they're following what man have done, you see, and they're not taking advantage of what God has given us, you see, because the Bible says, Matthew chapter 16, at verse 18, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Jesus promised to build one church, and that's all that He built. And I don't care what anybody else say, the Bible is right. It's what the Bible says, you see. Yes, they may laugh at us. Yes, they may say, call us names and whatever. The Bible is right. And one day I'm going to stand before God, you see, and that better be the message that I preach from His Word. Anything other than that, I'm going to have to give an account to God for what I did not teach. I did not teach truth. Jesus built one church. And we're not ashamed of that here. We're not ashamed of our Lord. You go to some places, you know, they say anything, talk all around it. They fancy people. I'm talking about the Church of Christ. Talk all around it. But don't offend those people out there, because some of them out there give more than others, and we don't want to offend them. That's what the church does. Shame on them. Jesus is Jesus. And if He says it in His Word, that's what it is. So we want you to become a child of God on this morning by hearing His Word. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Then we need to believe that Word. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he to come to God must believe that He is, and has rewarded them that diligently seek Him. Are you willing to repent of your sins? Luke chapter 13, verse 3, Jesus said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Are you willing to confess Jesus Christ be the Son of God? Matthew chapter 10. The verses are 32 and 33 says, if you confess me before men, I confess you for my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you for my Father, which is in heaven. Then we need to be baptized, according to the Bible, in water for the remission of our sins. On the day of Pentecost, you see, Peter told them that day, they said, what have we done? You would put the Son of God to death. Peter told them, gave an answer way back then. It is still the answer needs to be given today, you see. He told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is the answer. So a man come along and say, you don't have to be baptized for the remission of your sin. He is a liar, because the Bible says differently. They talk about all these things you can do, but you tell them to go get your sins washed away. How else are you going to come in contact with the blood of Christ? It's through baptism, to get your sins washed away, that you can rise up and be a new creature in Christ. And then we need to remain faithful unto death. Revelation chapter 2 and verses 10. See, there'll be persecution coming. Some of you even be thrown in jail. But don't you quit. You hang in there, and I'll give you a crown, you see, that was promised to you. That's the crown that we're talking about. That's the crown that we receive, that we'll take back and be with God forever.
everlasting. We will hang out with the greatest of all time, our God. If you're here this morning and you're a child of God, and quite simply, you have not realized your greatness. You have not realized the fact that you were great and that God made you. You have not been greater because you have not served. You have not put your priorities on being with the greatest for an eternity. Change that today. Come down and ask the saints to pray along with you. We will. God is faithful. He will forgive you. And then you're right back on the track where you should be. On your way to God. Serving Him, you see. That's the beauty of being a child of God. Because we make mistakes. I told you in the very beginning, we weren't perfect people. We have problems. We make mistakes. But we can make it right with God, you see, by asking for forgiveness. If we can help you in any way, why don't you come and together we stand and sing the invitation of song.
I am resolved.